The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. With his faithful Barrett Cato, Britt Reed, daring young publisher, matches wits with the underworld, risking his life that criminals and racketeers within the law may feel its weight by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reed in a thrilling adventure, music and murder. The Green Hornet strikes again. A small group of newspaper reporters stood in the corridor outside the courtroom. While they talked, they kept their eyes focused through the open door of the courtroom as they watched for the return of the judge and jury.
Well, it sure looks bad for young Fillmore. The evidence was all against him.
Well, I admit that much. But Jack Fillmore hasn't been found guilty yet. But the way your paper had it,
he's guilty all right, Axford. Just because he belongs to the social set's no reason why he should...
That has nothing to do with it. As I see it...
Don't make me laugh. Why, if you were the only one the Sentinel had covering this case, they'd be laughed off the streets.
Is that so now? Oh, listen to me.
Hey,
you're
cut it out, you two. Judge and jury are coming back in.
Holy mackerel, so they are.
This is it, by golly. Come on. I bet you 2-1 they don't find him.
Judge is going to speak.
Order in the courtroom. The prisoner will stand and face the jury to hear the verdict. Has the jury reached the verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
The foreman of the jury will present the findings of the jury to the court.
The jury finds the prisoner, Jack Fillmore, guilty of murder in the first degree.
No! No, I'm not guilty! I didn't do it, I tell you, I didn't do it!
Order.
It's a lie, I didn't do it!
Jack Fillmore guilty!
Hey, young lady!
Read all about it, Fillmore guilty!
Hey,
sir.
The following morning, Britt Reed, young publisher of the Daily Sentinel, was in his office with his secretary, Lenore Case, when Mike Axford entered.
Morning, Reed. Hi, Casey.
Hello, Axford. Come on in.
Oh, he is in, Mr. Reed. Michael never waits for an invitation.
Is that so now? Reed, I thought maybe we might talk about the Fillmore case. It's been on my mind ever since the jury gave the verdict.
I feel awfully sorry for Jack Fillmore somehow. Of course, if he really did kill his wife, as they say, I guess he deserves to go to the chair.
I know young Fillmore's parents. The whole thing has been a blow to them and to me.
Yeah. Every time the name of his wife was mentioned, he practically went to pieces.
Of course, he didn't have a shred of defense to offer.
Sure. And that's one thing that struck me, Reed.
What?
Well, it seems to me if he planned the murder, as the prosecuting attorney said, he would have figured out some kind of an alibi for himself.
Yeah, that's true.
Then he insisted that he take the stand in his own defense over the objections of his lawyers. But when he got on the stand, all he did was to say how much he loved his wife and all that.
And that just seemed to make the motive all the stronger, according to the articles in the papers.
That's right, Casey.
The Clarion played up the fact that his wife, Carol, was in love with that bandleader, Phil Bentley. and wanted a divorce from Jack Fillmore.
I know.
To my way of thinking, 'twas the story the maid told on the stand that really swayed the jury.
I don't remember reading about that.
Oh, she said that the night of the murder, just after dinner, Jack and his wife were in the living room having coffee. She heard Jack say it was about time they had a showdown. So she said she stepped outside the door, leaving it open a little, and listened.
Why do you ask me what I mean by a showdown, Carol? You know what I mean well enough.
Well, perhaps I do, Jack, but I prefer to have you tell me.
All right, honey, I will. You told me the other night you thought you wanted a divorce. You didn't explain very thoroughly at the time.
No, Jack, I didn't. But you were so upset when I told you, I decided to let the matter drop for the time being.
I know now what it's all about. Carol, darling, you think you're in love with Phil Bentley, isn't that so?
Well, yes, that's true.
Look, I want to talk this out sanely and quietly, Carol. I love you very much. I happen to know what kind of a man Bentley is. But right now,
Jack, I don't know what to say.
Please, Carol, I just can't bear the thought of giving you up. But, well, if after, say, a month you still feel the same way, then I'll give in.
Jack, I'll have to think that over. When you come home from the club tonight, I'll give you my answer.
Tell me now, please, darling. I can't go on without you. And, well, I'd rather see you dead than married to that heel, Phil Bentley.
Jack, you're being very insulting. I think you'd better go on to your meeting at the club. I don't want to discuss the subject any further right now.
And it was only an hour later that Carol Fillmore was shot and killed in their apartment. They claim he didn't go to the club at all, but sneaked back after the maid had left and murdered her.
Of course, the maid had an alibi, and so did Phil Bentley.
Sure. And then there was that unfinished note the cops found in Carol Fillmore's handwriting in the apartment. They read it over and over in court, the prosecutor, that is.
Well, what was in the note, Michael? I missed that when I read about the case.
Oh, it said, "Darling, I've made a decision. I've decided I love you very much, and..." That's all it said. They say young Fillmore entered that apartment, saw that note, and killed her.
Who discovered the murder, Michael?
Jack Fillmore himself. He phoned the cops, and when they got there, he was sitting sort of stunned-like, staring at his wife and holding the gun in his hand. He claimed he found her dead, and the gun was on the floor nearby. Of course, they didn't believe that.
As I recall, Jack Fillmore said he was so upset after their talk that he didn't go to the club. That he just walked around the park to think things out.
That's right, Reed. And I was almost inclined to believe him.
Well, then you still think there's a chance that Jack Fillmore is really innocent, Michael?
Yeah, I guess I do. Though I don't know just why, to tell the truth.
I'd like to believe that, too.
Well, it looks to me as though Fillmore was the only one having a motive, Michael.
Yeah, but if you ask me, I'd say that band leader had a motive, too.
Really?
Sure. He don't make much at that roadhouse. Carol Fillmore had a lot of dough in her own name. And Bentley was in love with her. He was sure she was going to get divorced and marry him.
But he had a strong alibi.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, what was Bentley's alibi, Exford?
He says he was at the club leading his band from 8 o'clock till midnight, the night of the killing.
But they don't play continually. They do take intermissions once in a while. And the club isn't very far from where the Fillmores live.
Yeah, I know. But that was covered, too.
Oh. Well, he proved he was at the club at the time?
Yep. When they weren't playing, he and the girl singer Gloria Webb sat at a front table in full view. That is, all but one half-hour period. From 8:30 to 9 o'clock.
8:30 to 9 o'clock? Didn't the murder take place between 8 and 9?
Sure, that it did. But Phil Bentley said he had a headache and went to his dressing room to rest up a bit.
He could have sneaked out, gone to the Fillmores, and been back by 9.
Sure, he could have. But you see, he had a witness to the fact that he didn't leave his dressing room. Two of them, in fact.
Really? Who were they?
The singer Gloria Webb and a Filipino busboy named Cebu something or other.
What did they have to say, Michael?
Well, when Inspector Evans went out to the club, started checking on Bentley, I went along with him. We were all in the manager's office where the inspector did the questioning.
You say, Bentley, that from 8:30 to 9 o'clock you were in your dressing room resting.
That's right, Inspector. I swear I never left my dressing room until it was time to go back in the bandstand at 9.
I can bear Phil out on that, Inspector.
All right, Miss Webb. Let's hear what you have to say about it.
Sure, why not? When Phil left the bandstand at 8:30 for the half-hour break, he said he had a headache and was going to lie down for a while.
Go on.
He left to go to his dressing room. I went to my room, got some aspirin, then I told one of the busboys, a Filipino named Cebu, to bring some hot coffee to Phil's room. I took the aspirin to Phil, and the boy brought in the coffee. We sat and talked till we got the call to play again at 9.
Look, Gloria, you don't have
Forget
to tell
it,
him.
Phil. Why shouldn't I tell what I know?
You're right, Miss Webb. No reason why you shouldn't. As long as you're telling the truth.
And who's to say I'm not? I'd like to know.
Oh, now, don't get me wrong. I don't discount your story at all. I'm sure you'll understand if I check with that busboy.
Sure. Go right ahead.
Sergeant Burke.
Yeah?
Go bring in the Filipino busboy, Cebu. I'm sure if he verifies the story Miss Webb has told, we won't have to bother Mr. Bentley any further.
So Sarge went out and got the busboy. He was scared to death, but he said he did meet Gloria Webb in the corridor, and she told him to get coffee. He said he took it in, and later went after the pot and the cups and saucers. That was just before 9.
I see. Just what sort of a person did you figure Gloria Webb to be, Axford?
Well, no, she was a pretty blonde, sort of hard-boiled, and... Well, I figured her out to be the icicle type. That is, she wouldn't... I mean...
You mean she wouldn't give you a tumble, is that it, Michael?
Now listen here, Casey, I tell you...
Oh, forget it. What about Phil Bentley?
Oh, him. He's a slick, smooth sort of guy, good-looking in a slinky sort of way.
It's easy to see you weren't very impressed by Phil Bentley.
He's just the sort of type a dizzy dame like you might go for, Casey.
Well, I'll have to make it a point to meet him sometime. Just to relieve the monotony of seeing you every day.
There you go, trying to be funny again.
Axford, those two have certain news value right now. I suggest you find out all you can about them. And get whatever there is in the morgue on them, including pictures.
Okay, Reed, that's an idea. I'll see what I can get on them for a feature story. When I get everything together, I'll let you look it over, Reed. So long.
Miss Case, how would you like to forget for one evening that you're my confidential secretary... and taking the club with me where Phil Bentley and his band are playing.
Why, Mr. Reed, this is so sudden. Oh, I'd love it. And I promise not to forget. I'm still your secretary.
Fine. That makes me feel a lot safer. I'll call for you about 8:30, rather. And be as glamorous as you possibly can.
Cosmetics can do a lot, even for a face like mine. Oh, but even the best cosmetics wouldn't fool you, Mr. Reed.
Your glamour might have some effect on Phil Bentley. We're going out to see just what kind of people he and Gloria Webb really are.
Oh, so that's it. Well, that ought to be fun. Well, I'd better get busy so I can get away early. I'll be ready at 8.
Oh, Cato's at home. He can help, too. Cato, you know a lot of the Filipinos in town. Do you happen to know a chap named Cebu from the Roadhouse Club?
Yes, sir, I know him.
Good. Get to him tonight. Find out when he usually quits work. And ask him about his testimony in regard to Bentley. Now, use tact, but find out.
Yes, sir. Why do you want information, Mr. Britt?
Just on the slim chance of proving that Jack Fillmore did not murder his wife.
We'll continue our Green Hornet adventure in just a moment. That evening, Britt Reed and Miss Case went to the Roadhouse Club as they had planned. After a leisurely dinner, Britt called the waiter to their table.
A waiter?
Yes, sir. What is it, Mr. Reed?
Do you think Mr. Bentley might let someone else lead the orchestra so that he might join us at our table for a short time?
Oh, yes, sir. He does that quite often.
We'd like Miss Webb to join us, too, if she will.
Of course. Tell them right away. I'm sure they'll be delighted.
This is going to be an experience.
That's right, it is. I want you to sort of turn on the glamour with Bentley. Take your cues from him.
I don't know what it's all about, but I'll do my best.
Good, I'm sure you will.
This is Miss Webb, Mr. Bentley, Mr. Reed.
How do you do? Miss Webb, this is Miss Case.
How do you do, Miss Case?
It's nice of you to join us. We enjoyed your singing very much, Mrs. Webb.
Thank you very much.
It
It's an honor to have you come here, Mr. Reed. Is Miss Case your...
Miss Case and I are just good friends, Mr. Bentley.
You play divinely, Mr. Bentley. The music is marvelous.
Well, thank you, Miss Case. Have you been here before?
No, I haven't. I didn't realize what I'd been missing.
Well, don't flatter Phil too much, my dear. We just won't be able to stand him if you do.
Now, Gloria, don't be catty.
Catty, am I? Phil Bentley.
By the way, Mr. Bentley, Miss Case is crazy about rumbas. Do you think you could have your band play one after this number?
Sure. Hey, waiter.
What is it, Mr. Bentley?
Go tell Charlie to play a rumba for the next number.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's so nice of you, Mr. Bentley.
I suppose you love to dance a rumba.
Well, I...
She's absolutely crazy about it.
Well, they'll be starting a rumba any time.
Oh, I just can't wait.
Now, I suppose, Miss Case, you have little else to do but to go nightclubbing and indulge in your craze for dancing.
Well, as a matter of fact, Miss Webb,
that's right. Miss Case does little else. But after all, when one has time on one's hands...
Why, Mr. Reed, you know I don't...
She forgets to call me Britta. I know I've said something wrong. Well, there's your rumba. Of course, that's one dance I don't even try to do.
Oh, how disappointing.
Perhaps Mr. Bentley would.
Of course. Miss Case, may I?
Well, as far as the rumba's concerned...
She can't wait, isn't that it?
You took the words right out of my mouth. Oh, it'll be an experience dancing with you, Mr. Bentley.
Smoke, Miss Webb?
No, thank you.
They make a fine couple, don't they, Miss Webb?
Do you think so?
Yes, of course. Notice how gracefully they dance together?
I haven't noticed. I'm sick and tired of those society girls who run after Phil Bentley.
Why, Miss Webb?
And if you're trying to palm off that dance-crazy blonde on someone, pick someone else. But lay off Phil Bentley. I'm going to my dressing room. Good night.
Interesting.
What's the matter with Gloria?
Doesn't Miss Webb feel well?
She seems slightly angry about something. Said she was going to her dressing room.
She always spoils everything.
Perhaps you'd better go see that she's all right. We're leaving now anyway.
Well, all right. I'm glad to have met you both. Good night.
Good night. Mr. Bentley. Did I take the wrong cue or something?
No, Miss Case. We'll leave now. I have found out exactly what I wanted to know, thanks to your help. Let's go.
After dropping Miss Case off at her home, Britt Reed went to his apartment where Cato, his faithful Filipino valet, was talking to Mike Axford.
Oh, here comes Mr. Britt now.
Out doing the nightclubs again, no doubt.
Well, Axford, you're home rather early for you.
Well, I got all the dope on that singer, Gloria Webb, and on Phil Bentley. Some of it, of course, won't do to put in the write-up.
For instance?
Well, in the morgue at the Sentinel, I found a story about Bentley being married before. His wife got a divorce and named Gloria Webb as the other woman in the case. Of course, they both denied it, but the divorce went through.
I see. Axford, was it ever proved that the murder weapon belonged to Jack Fillmore?
Nope. It was a pearl-handled revolver. He claimed he never owned a gun. But of course, they wouldn't believe him.
Well, of course. Well, it's after 11 o'clock. You going to turn in now?
Not yet, Reed. I'm going to go down to cops headquarters to see if there's anything interesting. I'll be back later. So long.
See you later. How did you make out with Sibo, Cato?
Well, he leave job at club at 10 o'clock. I talked to him about half hour, then come home.
What did he have to say?
Well, he seemed nervous, but stick the same story he tell police. Miss Webb, she tell him to take coffee to dressing room right after band stop playing. Mm-hmm. Well, then Sibo go in to get dishes just before he leave for night. They still both there.
I see. Well, I guess... Wait a minute. Are you sure Sibu said he went for the dishes just before he left for the night?
Well, that's right. He say he take dishes to kitchen, then go home.
And his quitting time is 10 o'clock.
Well, yes, sir. Well, why you...
Cato, that isn't what he told the police. He testified that he went in with coffee right after 8:30 and picked up the dishes just before 9 o'clock and that Miss Webb and Bentley were both there.
Well, what you figure from that, Mr. Britt?
I figure that the discrepancy in Sibu's story may be the means of saving young Fillmore. We're going out tonight, Cato.
Will that mean Green Hornet go in Black Beauty?
Yes. Maybe the Green Hornet can get the truth from a few people one way or the other. Let's go.
After singing her final number, Gloria Webb made her way down a back corridor in the club to her dressing room.
Oh, what the...
Carl.
That mask. You're the Green Hornet.
That's right.
What are you doing in my dressing room? Why have you come here?
I'm here to talk about the Fillmore case.
Fillmore case? What would I know about that?
Suppose I told you a certain party might have been seen leaving here for the Fillmore place and seen coming back just before 9. Suppose I told you that certain party might even have been followed to the Fillmore place.
I wouldn't believe you. Anyhow, neither Phil nor I know anything about it.
Have it your way. You better tip off that guy Bentley. And tell him I'll be back later to make a deal. Maybe I can see to it that the person I mentioned doesn't spill what he knows. I'll be leaving now. So long.
In his office at police headquarters, Inspector Evans, who was working late, looked up as an excited officer burst into his office.
Inspector, just got a phone call.
It's a hot tip, Inspector.
What was the call about? A guy just phoned, said if we want to get the real murderer of Mrs. Fillmore, we go to a place at 204th Street and wait outside. That the real killer is going in after that Filipino Cebu.
That doesn't make sense. Young Fillmore's been convicted.
This guy says Fillmore didn't do it. And that if we're smart, we'll follow the person that goes to Cebu's and get all the real dope.
It's worth looking into, Inspector.
It may be the work of a crank, but we'll investigate anyway. Let's get going.
A short time later, Inspector Evans, with Axford and the police officer, sat waiting in a squad car near the entrance to Cebu's place.
I'm beginning to think someone sent us on a wild goose chase. Been waiting here almost 20 minutes.
Hey, look. Cab just pulled up in front of the place.
We'll wait a minute. Then we'll go in.
Well, there's a guy going in. Has his topcoat collar turned up.
Come on.
I hope something comes of this.
If it does, sure make headlines.
Help me. Hurry. Quiet now. Come on. He went in that door down there. Move quietly.
He went in here.
I'm not going to it first. Why are you dressed like that?
Shh, listen. Holy crow, it's a day.
Quiet.
Listen, you. I told you if you opened your mouth about seeing me put that pearl handle revolver in my bag or about my leaving the club that night, that I'd settle with you.
But I'm not dead.
Oh, no. One thing I learned tonight, you sneaked out and followed me over to Fillmore's place. I told you I'd kill you if you said anything more than I told you to say. That's why I'm here, you little...
Why'd I do anything?
It's that dame, Gloria Webb.
We've heard enough. We better get in there.
I'll use that gun. I didn't make it look like suicide.
No, no, you not do that. I'm not fooled. Did I not tell you?
Open the door, quick.
Yeah.
It's locked.
Mrs. Dickens,
please. No, wait, please, not kill me, wait.
Good heavens, she did it. Break in that door.
Hey, look. The dame's lying on the floor, not the Filipino.
I'm standing there in a daze. Hey, you, what happened? Speak up.
Missy Webb. She go to kill me. Shot come through window, hit her an arm. She fallen faint, perhaps.
Lucky for you, somebody did shoot through the open window.
Say, Inspector, then from what we heard, she killed Mrs. Fillmore. That lets Jack Fillmore out, don't it?
That's the way it looks to me, Axford. We'll have Bentley picked up. We'll get enough from the three of them to make a case against Gloria Webb. You can bet on that.
Bentley was her boyfriend. She must have killed Mrs. Fillmore out of jealousy.
That's the motive as I see it. Say, I wonder who it was that prevented her from killing Cebu. Maybe Bentley followed her here and...
what's that?
Suffering snakes. That's the Green Hornet leaving. He must have been the one.
No doubt of it. Well, let's get these two to headquarters. We've got a long night of grilling ahead.
Well, police here enough for them to know Jack Fillmore not guilty, Mr. Britt.
Yes. I had Miss Case put on an act tonight so as to get a line on Gloria Webb's true character.
It turned out as you expect, then?
Yes. When I found out how insanely jealous Gloria Webb was because of Bentley, I knew she was capable of anything, even murder. Cebu's little discrepancy in time when talking to you gave her the opening wedge to break the alibi she had built up for herself and Bentley.
Well, you think Bentley in on it too, perhaps?
Oh, I doubt it. He knew, of course, she was lying about them being together at the time of the murder. But he kept quiet to strengthen his own alibi. He knew he might be suspected. Well, now Jack Fillmore will eventually go free.
Well, it's good night's work by a Green Hornet.
And from here on in, it's going to be a good night's sleep for Britt Reed. Home, kiddo, home. And step on it.
These copyrighted dramas originate in the studios of WXYZ Detroit, and all characters, names, places, and incidents used are fictitious. Al Neal speaking, this is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.